Good morning. Today's daf from Pesachim Ayin Hey. We're in the very top of Ayin Hey Amud Aleph. We're starting at the two dots in Solnas the Pesach. We're going back to our Mishnah. Yesterday we began the seventh parak of Pesachim. Further continuation discussion of the Karban Pesach and specifically roasting the Karban Pesach. Instructions of the Torah are very clear. The Torah says Sliyesh has to be roasted over a fire. As we pointed out yesterday, by the Karban Pesach, it is the only Karban where the Torah highlights exactly how to prepare it. In terms of the avodas HaKarban, as we pointed out yesterday, so there's pretty much a universal practice for all karbanos. Again, there is some variability in terms of the avodas, the number of zrikas that are done, where the zrikas done on the mizbeach. But for the most part, however, there is a uniformity to how the avodah is done. However, when it comes to the Karban Pesach. So the Torah is very clear in terms of the preparation of the karban, that after you did all the avodas and after you take it home and now you want to prepare in order to eat it. So the Torah says Sliyesh, you have to roast it. So the Mishnah yesterday, based on the pasuk, so the Mishnah tells us really clear instructions, which is Ketzat Solnas HaPesach. So the Mishnah in yesterday's daf, opening Mishnah of the seventh parak. So how do you roast it? So mivish bushel rimon v'tochol topiv ad beis nekuvasov and osen is karav es b'nei me'av lusocho. So what you're going to do is that you're going to take a spit, specifically that of pomegranate wood, right? The branch of a pomegranate tree, and you're going to stick it through the animal from end to end, and you're going to roast it. And you're going to roast it with the intestines inside. And we already discussed this yesterday. Machlokas Rav Yosef Lili and Rav Akiva, whether the intestines are to remain inside. Rabbi Akiva says, no, don't keep the intestines inside, because the intestines are going to be cooking inside, and you need roasting on every part, including the intestines as well. Okay, and then the Mishnah goes on to say, Ein solen es haPesach, lo la shpud ve lo la skala. Now, in terms of roasting the Karban Pesach, so it's got to be over the fire. You can't use a metal spit. You can't use a grate, a grill. Good, so the Mishnah's instructions are very clear. In terms of roasting, you must be roasting it over the open fire. Then the Mishnah confounds us, because the Mishnah then says, I'm a Rabbi Tzedek, Maisim Rabbi Gamliel. So there was an incident with Rabbi Gamliel, and yesterday I mentioned Rabbi Gamliel lived after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, that we learned on Daf Ayin Gimel, right, just 2 days ago. Okay, so that obviously is, you know, needs clarification, but Rabbi Gamliel, there's an incident with Rabbi Gamliel where he talks to his servant Tevi, Shama Tevi Avdo, Tsei Vitzala Lanu, Esa Pesach Al Ha'askala. And his instructions are very clear. Go get the grill. Go get the barbecue, and we're going to grill it right on top of the grates. And so the Gemara picks it up now, right now, and we are on Ayin Hey Amud Aleph at the two dots. And the question is pretty obvious. Ein Solnas HaPesach v'chulei. So Maisa Listor, the Mishnah is the episode in which it recounts is going directly against what we learned back in the Mishnah. So Chesur Mechsav HaChikatani. So what you have to say is that something's missing in the Mishnah. So here we have a classic scenario of Chesuri Mechzera, and we're going to have to fill in the blank. And that is, V'im Haskala Menukefes Mutter. If our grills have holes in them, like in other words, like our grills. So in other words, there's plenty of room and air for the fire to go through the grill, so then it's going to be Mutter. Okay. V'amar Rabbi Tzadik Maisa Bram Mingamlil, Sharmel Tevi Abdot Seh V'tzalalanu Sapesach Al Haskala Menukefes. And that's exactly what the story is coming to validate. That if the grates have holes in them, and if there's ways for the fire to go through the grates and through the grills, so that's going to be acceptable. Good. So, if all I had was the Gemara and I didn't have any commentary whatsoever, so I would have suggested that in terms of the Karban Pesach, so you could barbecue it. Meaning you take out your grills, right, your standard barbecue. Obviously, it has to be what we're going to discuss today. Good part of today's daf is going to be the coals that are going to be used in order to fuel the fire. But in other words, and you put the Karban Pesach on the grill, on the grates, and that should be fine. And that's what it sounds like from the Gemara, simple reading of the Gemara. However, simple reading of the Gemara, that's not Rashi. Rashi writes over here, Menukevis, really interesting Rashi. Rashi writes, Menukevis, Asuya Kibrichim Kein Shalanu. So Rashi describes where the grill is made up of bricks like ours. V'yesh chalal gadol bein briach lebriach. Now between the bricks there's a big opening. He's describing some sort of fire pit. And what you're going to do is you're going to lay down the grill. V'chol hatle nitzle be'avir shebein shnei brichim. And now, in terms of roasting the Karban Pesach, so it's going to be put over the fire pit. She'ein bisaro nogea ba'barzel. And Rashi writes, and none of the meat is going to be touching the grill. Okay, so that's Rashi's understanding over here. So in other words, what's the grill accomplishing according to Rashi? And my answer is, I have no idea. I don't know, right? The way the Gemara presents it, the simplest reading of the Gemara is that you're putting the Karban Pesach directly on the grill, but because the grill's got a lot of spaces in between, so there's plenty of room for the fire to go. But Rashi over here is saying, no, there literally is no contact between the Karban Pesach and the grill. That's what Rashi writes. Now, I think, but it's only a thought, I think Rashi writes that because we're gonna learn in tomorrow's daf, I mean, it really is the end of today's daf, but Mirtzah Shem, we're gonna learn in tomorrow's daf that you can't have the Karban Pesach coming into contact with anything. Meaning it's gotta be over an open fire. Tomorrow's Mishnah. Naga Becharso. Right, it's the end of today's daf. Naga Becharso Shel Tanner Yiklof Es Makamo. So we're going to learn a halacha together that if let's say some of the Karban Pesach happens to be touching the wall, so that means to say that it's cooked not by the fire but by the heat of the wall. So then you have to just shave off that piece of meat because that piece of meat was not fire roasted. So you have to shave off that piece. You can't eat it. Okay, it certainly seems clear in the upcoming Mishnah that there literally could be no contact between the Karban Pesach and any object. It has to be directly over the fire. So that's what it sounds like. And I'm imagining that that's why Rashi says it over here. But then it only begs the question, which I really don't have an answer to, then what are the grills accomplishing? What's the great accomplishing? I really don't know. Anyway, but that's Rashi on the Gemara. Let's continue in the Gemara. Okay, so today's daf is all going to be related to the roasting of the Karban Pesach, and really what we're going to delve into, it's going to be obviously an extraordinarily legal discussion, but that's Gemara, and that is the definition of fire. In other words, the Torah says it has to be tzli esh, so it has to be over a fire. So let us continue the Gemara. Bami nei Rav China bar Idi me Rav Ada bar Av. The following question was posed to Rav Ada bar Av. Tanah sheyisiku b'klipei arla. So let's say I have an oven. Where, what did I use to fuel it? Klipe Arla. Now, this should sound familiar because we did it earlier in the Masechta, but that was Daf Chavav, and Daf Ein Hey. That's a long time ago. But, okay, but in other words, second parakah of our Masechta. So we talked about baking an oven using the shells of Arla fruit as our fuel. And do we say that the Isser Arla goes from the fuel into the bread? So if you recall, going all the way back to Daf Chavav, that was a machlokas. In terms of whether or not the bread is considered a product of Arla, and thereby the Arla is Aser, Arla is Aser Bachila Uvana. And so if the bread now is infused with the Arla, so the bread itself is also going to be Aser as well. So again, going back to Chavav, it's a machlokas. So, and hopefully you're wondering at this point in time, what does this have anything to do with what we're discussing right now? So stay tuned. So Tanashi Siku Beklipa Arla, the Garfo, the Afa Boasapas. So let's say we have an oven. The oven was heated with klipe arla, and then it was swept out. But the heat in the oven was created by the arla. The alfa bo esapas. And what you did is you baked bread in that oven. So ledivre haoser mahu. So the one who says that directly heating up the bread with the klipe arla underneath it. So the one who says that it's aser, again, it's a machlokas back in the second parak, but let's right now rest on that position where it's aser. So amalei apas materis. So if the coals are swept out, I don't mean coals over here, but in other words, the shells, which are basically the source of the fuel of the fire. So if they were swept out and all we're doing over here is using residual heat, so then even the one who takes the position, the more chamer position over there in the second parak, who says that it is aser, but if the klipe arla have been removed and all we're looking at right now is residual heat, so the halach is mutar, so then it's going to be mutar. So amar lei, okay, good. So that's the starting point of this discussion, and the Gemara progresses with this discussion. Amar lei v'amar Rav Chinna Asaba, amar Rabbi Asi, amar Rav Yochanan, tanur sheyisiku v'garfa v'tzala bo sapesach ein zetz liesh. So let's put that side by side with a halacha that is taught to us by Rav Yochanan. What's the halacha of Rav Yochanan? I have an oven, and the oven was heated, the coals were swept aside, and in that oven I roasted the Karban Pesach. I roasted it with residual heat, meaning the coals themselves are no longer there. So ein ze tzli esh. This is not tzli esh. This does not conform to the requirement of the Torah that I must be roasting it over a fire. Why? Because it says the word tzli esh two times. We're going through the psukim, Parshas Bo. So the Torah not only instructs, but double instructs us that it has to be roasted on a fire two times. So time to go, rachman tzli esh, tzli esh, tzli pa'amim. So what's clear over here is that it's only because the Torah says it two times that you have to have the fire there. Halo gali rachmana. But if the Torah did not give clear instructions tzli esh two times, havamit tzli eshu. So I might have thought, or I would have thought, that even if I swept the coals away, and all I'm just using is the heat produced by the coals, that would be a fulfillment of tzli esh. Okay, so let's set this up. Rav Yochanan just told us that it's only because of the compounded language of tzli esh by the Karban Pesach that I need the coals there. I need the actual source of the fuel there. Had it not said that, so then if all I had was the heat produced by the coals, so that would be considered tzli esh. That's what it sounds like. Meanwhile, in the halacha of klipe arla, what did we learn together? That if I heated up an oven with klipe arla, swept the klipe arla to the side, so then the bread that I bake in that oven is going to be mutter. Why? Meaning, if by Karban Pesach, only because of the double language does the fuel have to be there. But had it not said that, even if the fuel were not there and the heat was just residual heat, that would be a satisfaction of tzli esh. So the Gemara says it seems like these two halachas are not in alignment. So the Gemara gives two answers. First answer, very straightforward. Amalei galei rachman ha'asam v'yalfi namina. So the Gemara says, okay, so here's what we could say. Number one, what we could say is that Karban Pesach is giving us the baseline halacha, meaning that we have over here what's called the Binyan Av. By Karban Pesach, we're learning together that the very definition of tzli esh is going to be only when the source of the fire is still there in the oven. That, and only then is it going to be tzli esh. And then we translate that over to every other halacha. So over here, by the halacha of klipe arla, when I'm fueling the oven with klipe arla, the bread's going to be asr. But once the klipe arla has been swept aside, even though I have the residual heat produced by that, that's not going to be considered, that's not going to be considered a product of the arla. Good. That is one way to understand all this. In other words, we're just looking at a binyanah. That's all. Ibai Yisema, the Gemara gives a second answer. And that is maybe the halachas of Karban Pesach are not transferable. Maybe the halachas of Karban Pesach are localized and limited to Karban Pesach. And still a distinction can be made. What's the distinction look like? How sometimes the kasav rachmana tzli esh de pa'amim. There by Karban Pesach, it says it two times. Halo kasav rachmana tzli esh de pa'amim. Had it not said it two times, hava amina a esh kapit rachmana ve'arfilu garfo nami tzli eshu. So had it not said it two times, I would have just simply said that as far as the Torah is concerned, so the Torah just simply wants there had to have been a fire, and even if we were goyim, even if we swept the coals aside, so that would have been considered an esh. But you see, when it comes to klipe arla, the shells of the arla fruit, which again have the status of arla, which means that it's asr b'ana, what is the Torah's hakpada? What is the Torah concerned about vis-a-vis the isser? And that, of course, is the actual arla itself, meaning the isser is the arla. So therefore, when I'm burning the arla, and again, that transfer now of the isser going from the arla into the bread that I bake in the oven. Yeah, the only reason why it's usser is because the klipe arla are there. They're mamish in the oven itself. And you have a transfer. Now, once the klipe arla are swept aside, so as far as residual heat is concerned, you can call that whatever you want. You can call that a product of the arla. But as far as the isser is concerned, the isser is no longer there because the isser as it relates to the klipe arla is just that, the klipe arla. So that's why over there, once the klipe arla removed, the isser is no longer there. As opposed to the Karban Pesach where there, the Torah is not focusing on an isser, the Torah is focusing on what the source of the heat needs to be vis-a-vis the Karban Pesach. And it could very well be, had the Torah not said tzli esh two times, could very well be that if we created a fire in the oven, even if I removed the source of that fire, but as long as the heat is produced by the fire, that would have been enough. The compound that Sliyesh needs to tell me is there to tell me that the fire still needs to be present in the oven when roasting the Karban Pesach. Okay. By the way, I keep using the word oven just to clarify. Obviously, oven over here just simply means an area where you're keeping the coals and you're roasting it over the oven, right? The word oven I'm using from a Gemara terminology. It's basically a grill, some form of a grill. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. Okay. So, step one of today's daf, part one was, Rabbi Gamliel. And him grilling on the grill, and that goes against the beginning of the Mishnah, the Gemara resolved that. Number two, when the Tzli Eish compounded, it said Tzli Eish two times in the Torah, which means that not only does there need to be a fire, but the source of the fire still has to be there in the oven while you're roasting. Okay, and for the remainder of today's daf, I know we're only a quarter of the way through, but for the remainder of today's daf, we're going to be focusing on one topic. Okay, for anyone who's been grilling, okay, it happens to be, again, I live here in South Florida and happen to like grilling. So anyone who grills, so you know that basically the best way to grill is with coals. Okay, I also have a, Baruch Hashem, I have a gas barbecue, but it's grilling with coals. Now, the way coals work, coals obviously are, right, a product of wood. And the way coals work is that you light the coals, but you don't, and there's a fire, but you don't cook on top of that. In other words, you wait for the coals now to start smoldering, and then at that point in time, you cook over the coals. And so, what we're going to be discussing for the remainder of today's daf is the Torah said Tzli Eish. Tzli Eish sounds like you have to be roasting it over a fire. So, let's say you roast it in what you and I would call the standard way of roasting, which is over coals. Coals that are not on fire, meaning there's no flame coming off the coals, but the coals are red hot. Is that considered Tzli Eish? Okay, and if I could take a discussion, which is going to take the balance of today's daf and reduce it to a simple one-word answer, the answer is yes. That's going to be good as Tzli Eish. Good. So that's the short version of the Gemara. But obviously, right in the daf, we're not just interested in the short version of the Gemara. So let's expand that answer. Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara starts this discussion off with a brisa. So you score the Karban Pesach. Okay, so right to grilling. So you know, sometimes what you do is you put little slices in the meat in order to allow the heat to go into the meat. And it's so good. That's what he's describing, the chatcha. That's how Rashi describes it over here. Anyway, the chiddush of Rebbe is not the scoring of the Karban Pesach. It's going to be the coals, right? Chatcha v'nasno agabe gachalim. So you're putting it over the coals. So Rebbe Omer Ani, right? That language of Omer Ani. You're going to find that only by Rebbe. So he says, I say, shezed Tzli Eish, that this is considered Tzli Eish. It is a fulfillment of the pasuk of Tzli Eish, roasting it over a fire. Okay, so with that stated, so we already know Rebbe's answer to the question. Rebbe says yes. Now, the discussion. So does Rebbe really feel that gacham, that coals, is considered fire? I don't know if that's right. And on that, let's ask the following question. Here we're in the parsha in the Torah of Tzaraas, right? Parsha's Tazria, right? The next parsha also is about Tzaraas, but in terms of Tzaraas that affect a person, so that's going to be found in Parsha's Tazria. So, mikvas eish, one of the forms of tzaras, there are a number of forms of tzaras. One of them is mikvas eish, where you have a burn, and then in that burn that you have, in that wound that you have, so outsprouts a tzaras discoloration. But it starts with a burn. Now, mikvas eish, in li'ala shenichva be'eish. So far, all I know is that it's only gonna qualify as mikvas eish, if you actually get burned with directly by fire. However, nichva bi gachelas bi remet bi sid roseach bi gafasis roseach v'chol davar haba min ha'or la'asuye chamei ha'or minayin. How about if the burn comes with any toldas eish? Anything that was heated by a fire that then comes into contact with your skin. How do I know that's also mechvas eish? So Tamalam, right? Mikvah riba. So we have a ribui. So the Torah says mikvah more than once. It means to tell me that not only is this mikvah's ish going to be when the burn starts directly by fire, but even with told us ish, even with something that was heated by fire, it's also going to be considered mikvah's ish. Now, if you look carefully over there at the first example that's given of what's told us ish, so nichva bigachelas, coals are considered told us ish. So what do we have over here? Obviously a problem against Rebbe. Rebbe's telling us that if you roast directly over the coals, that's considered sli ish. Meanwhile, the brisa that we just learned together is telling us that gachelas is not ish, but it's rather told us ish. And the Gemara asks exactly this question. Time of the Rabbi Rachman Mechva Mechva. Only because we have a ribui when it comes to the Saras. Hala Rabbi Rachman Mechva Mechva Gachalim Laveshnenu. So that makes it sound like Gachalim are in fact not Eish, but rather just a Tolada of Eish. It's a subcategory. But again, when it comes to the Karban Pesach, the Torah says it has to be Eish. Okay, so that is a problem against the Shita of Rebbe. And to that, we're going to have two answers. Answer number one is going to be on Amud Aleph, and answer number two is going to start only on the Amud Beis. So, answer number one of the Gemara. Remember, the discussion over here is between Rav Achdebuy Bar Ami and Rav Chista. So this is Rav Chista's response. And that is, Gachela shel eitz lo itz derechra l'rabuye. So, Rav Chisla's response is that it depends on what kind of coal we're talking about. If we're talking about wood coal, right, that's a standard coal that you and I are using. So that, I don't need a ribuy over there, meaning that is fire. So ki yitzirkra l'gachel shal mateches. So as far as the coals that we're describing over here, we're talking about metal heated by fire. That's a tolada. That's not ish. That's a subcategory. And the only reason why I would have included that regarding Tsaras is because of the ribui of mikvah. But had it not been for the ribui, I would have said that that's not ish. So we are making a distinction over here. Rav Chisla is making a distinction between coals of wood versus metal that heated by fire. So the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. So you're telling me that metal heated by fire is not ish. I don't think you're right about that. Let's consider. So we know that there are dalmises based in, there are four different ways of executing somebody. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, it deals extensively in the latter prakim with the dalmises based in. Now, obviously, that's where you're going to learn about the execution over there in Sanhedrin. So one of them is Sreifa. Now the Torah says in the instructions of Sreifa, we see it in the example of Abbas Cohen, who is Mizana. So Ba'eshti Sarev, the Amar of Masna. So, and we know how exactly is the Bas Kohen going to be put to death through Sreifa? Psila Shal Aver, Hayu Osila. So what we're going to do is they're going to boil up hot lead and they're going to pour it down her throat. And that is the Misa of Sreifa. So now the Torah, look what the Torah says. Ba'eshti Sarev. You're going to burn her in fire. And what we're doing is that we're boiling lead, which is a metal, and we're pouring it down her throat. And that's a kiyum, that's an accomplishment of Ba'eshti Sarev. Sounds pretty clear that boiling metal is considered Eish. So the Gemara says, Shani Asim Damakra Ba'eshti Sarev. Ti Sarev L'Rabbas Kol Sarefos Abaos Mina Eish. V'Kol Shekein Eish Atzma. So the Gemara says, yeah, but over there by Sreifa regarding the Misa's Beis Din, we have a ribui. The Torah says Ti Sarev, it says it twice. So that comes to tell me that really when it comes to Sreifa, it doesn't have to be Ba'eish. Meaning Eish is just but an example of how burning can be done. But burning can be done even if it's a non-ish entity, i.e. it's boiling lead. So the Gemara says, okay, so now we're going to just spend a couple more minutes together in terms of the proper way of sreifa. So v'nakif lechavil is mos v'nikla. So the Gemara says, okay, so you're telling me that there are multiple ways to be accomplished sreifa in terms of a method of execution. So why not just wrap her up in a lot of wood and just burn her alive? So the Gemara says, Asya Sreifa, Sreifa Mibnei Aaron. So the Gemara says, yeah, but we are given a model in the Torah in terms of how to do Sreifa, and that is specifically by Nadav and Avihu. Ma lahalan Sreifas Neshama V'guf Kayim, Afkan Sreifas Neshama V'guf Kayim. So when it comes to Nadav and Avihu, so we know that they were burnt, but only internally, not externally. Rashi over here quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Rashi writes, "Kimin beis chutin shel esh nechnasu lahem bechot mehem." So, right, powerful imagery. Where basically the fire coming from a Kadosh Baruch Hu goes through their nostrils and burns them internally. So there, it gives us a prototype in terms of how Sreifa is done. So when we do Sreifa, so we're trying to accomplish the same thing, which is an internal burning, not an external burning. So the Gemara says, "Venavale chamei or." So the Gemara says, "Okay, so why don't we just boil water and pour it down her throat? Why are we boiling lead and pouring it down her throat?" So the Gemara says, "Mishum de Rav Nachman, dam Rav Nachman, amakra ve'aftal recha kamocha." So in other words, we have the pasuk that you have to love your neighbor like yourself, and bar lo misa yafeh. And so when executing somebody, so do it in the most painless way that's available. It'd be more painless. I'll go in the other direction. It'd be more painful to use boiling water, right? That would not accelerate the death. The death would be drawn out. That'd be more painful. So if the Torah says execute, and now we're looking for a most pleasant way to execute, there is no pleasant way to execute, right? We all understand. But we're talking over here about degrees. And if there is a way in which execution can be done in an accelerated fashion, so you're going to be using hot lead. So the Gemara says that's why when all said and done, we're going to use hot lead because it is a kiyum of a haftal recha kamocha, right? You go throughout Shas and you look at all the examples of a haftal recha kamocha, and you'll find that it is right. I say this from a point of inspiration or the lack thereof. It is very uninspirational examples throughout Shas of the Haftal Recha Kamocha, meaning in nowhere shape and form does the Gemara ever say clearly, you know, the Haftal Recha Kamocha, you should really love your neighbor like yourself. Like, in other words, the most simple understanding of being courteous, being considerate, helping one another, treating people like you would treat yourselves, right? You don't get that kind of examples. Rather, you get these kinds of examples like we're learning right now. You know, when you kill somebody, so really what you should do is you should consider a less painful way of execution. Okay, that's what you're always going to find in the Gemara in terms of the most. I'm just shuffling through the examples of the Gemara. I guess the most inspirational example that you have of a haftal recha kamocha, right? I'm thinking about the Gemara in Kedushin. The Gemara there says that if you marry somebody, so you should really see them before you marry them, right? The Gemara says that if you don't take a look at them before you marry them, so you're going to end up marrying them, and you're not going to be that excited of that you married, and it's going to be hard for you. It's going to be challenging for you to fulfill the mitzvah of haftal recha kamocha. Okay, that's the closest thing I could think of in terms of a positive, you know, inspirational drasha of after lecha kamocha, but most of them are going to look like the one that we just saw right now. Back to our Gemara. And so I have Rav Nachman. So why do I need the gzeres shava? So Amri love gzeres shava. I mean the sreifas neshama v'guf kayim la sreifahi. No, the Gemara says without the prototype but not of an aviu. So I would have thought that look, if all I'm doing is just burning the internal, that's not burning. So in other words, Nadav Aviu, the model of Nadav Aviu tells me that that's a kiyum of sreifa. V'imishum d'Rav Nachman nefesh le'chavila izmoras tuva, and if it were just for Rav Nachman, so I would have said, well, put a bunch of wood around her, ki hechid etamos ba'agala, so that she's going to die even that much quicker. So kamash malan. So the gzeres shava is there to teach us that no, that it's not external burning, it's an internal burning. By the way, the ba'agala, right, that's an Aramaic word. It means soon, right? We hear it all the time in Kaddish, and probably we don't know what it means, but it means quickly. It means soon. In the Kaddish itself, it's pretty clear contextually. Vagalav is mankariv. Anyway, so kamash malan. So ve'ela be'esh lamali. So the Gemara says, okay. So when all is said and done, so here's what we just learned together: to be mekayim the mitzvah of sreifa. So in terms of Mises Beis Din. So we're putting together a whole bunch of ideas. Number one, the idea of that it has to be an internal burning, not an external burning. We learned that by Nadav and Aviu. Number two is that it doesn't have to be fire. Why? Because it says Tisa Reif a couple of times. So it doesn't have to be fire. And that's why molten lead, which is, we learned together, is not fire. We learned that by Mechvas Eish. It's not fire, but when it comes to Sreifas Beis Din, that's fine. because it says tisareif. It just has to be you have to burn, but it doesn't necessarily have to be through fire. So when all said and done, so when it comes to the mitzvah of sreifa vis-a-vis mitzvahs beis din, so we put together now an understanding of why it is that you're pouring, taking molten lead and pouring it down the throat. So when all said and done, simple question. Why does the Torah use the word esh when it comes to the sreifa of mitzvahs beis din? So ve'ela be'esh lamali, Gemara's next question. So the Gemara's answer, lafuke evrami karo. So what the Torah's teaching us is that in order to fulfill esh for mitzvahs beis din, you have to be heating something up. If something, let's say, were naturally hot, right? Rashi gives examples over here. You took a mineral out of the ground that already is hot. It was, volcanic ash, I guess, or volcanic lava. I'm just thinking, just thinking on the fly. Anyway, that's not acceptable. I mean, the Torah with H tells us that you have to take something and heat it up in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Mises Beis Din. Okay. Amar Lay. Wide line on Ein Hamad Aleph, and continuing along this discussion. Amalei Rabbi Yirmiyahu le Rabbi Zera v'chol hecha dechsiv ba'ish tisareif l'rabbas kol sreifos habaos machmas eish. Who? So the Gemara says, okay, so here's what we just learned together. That when you have the formula in the Torah of ba'ish tisareif, so it's less focused on the eish and more on the sreifa. It just needs to be burnt. So as we just established regarding the Mises Beis Din. So the Gemara says, okay, let me give you another example in Halacha where we have this formula of Ba'esh Tisareif, and let's take a look together. V'agabe Parman Israfim. So we know that there are a couple of occasions where a carbon is not going to be burnt on the Mizbeach, but rather it's going to be burnt in a separate pile. Okay, and specifically the Parman Israfim. Now when it comes to the Parman Israfim, the Torah says, "Dechsibu v'sarafoso ala eitzim ba'esh." So you're going to be burning it on wood in a fire. V'tanya, and we learned in a brisa ba'esh v'lo b'sid roseach v'lo b'gafsis roseach. So and it's got to be burnt on a fire. So the Gemara says, "Amalei hachiasha hasam siv ba'esh v'hadot tisareif l'rabos kol sreifos abas machmas eish." So the Gemara's answer is, "Well, look at the pasuk carefully. Meaning you have to, it has to match the formula." So, if it says like it does by Mises Beis Din, by Ish Tisareif, so there, the focus is on not the Ish, but Tisareif, it's on the Sreifa. Hachak si basarafa so ala eitzim, by Ish, so libesof Ish. So over here by Parmenes Rafim, so clearly the focus, the emphasis is going on Ish. It says basarafa so ala eitzim, ba'esh. So clearly, the focus is on esh. So lamemer de'esh in midiach min alo. That's why over there, by the parman esrafin, it has to be specifically by an esh. So hasam nam iksiv sreifa, libesof dechsiv. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you're not giving the full report. The Gemara now, as we turn to the Amud Beis, says, there is another pasuk describing parman esrafin. Al shefach hadesh nisa reif. So we do have a pasuk that says that you're going to be burning it, and there's no mention of the word esh. So Amri, so they say in the yeshiva, Hahu Yisareif Mibayla Lechad Detanya. Leave that pasuk out of the discussion. That pasuk is teaching us a different halacha. The Braisa says Yisareif Afapisha Ein Sham Deshen. So even though there's no ash pile, still you fulfill the mitzvah of Parman Israfim. And another point, Yisareif Afapi Shehitzis Or Berubo. Also Yisareif, even though most of the animal has been burnt, most of the bull has been burnt, but still you should continue burning it until it's burnt in its entirety. Meaning over there, we don't say rubo kukulo. Okay. Adkan, that was a really long answer to a question. So let's reset the question because we're about to give the second answer. But before we give the second answer, let's reset the question. Rebbe says that burning with coals is considered al ha'esh, meaning to roast a carbon Pesach. So the Torah says Sli Eish. So you don't need an actual flame, says Rabbi. You have coals, and the coals are glowing. So that is considered Sli Eish. Good. And that was the halacha of Rabbi. The Gemara was bothered by the fact that when it comes to Michvas Eish, that's one of the forms of Tzara'as. So because the Torah says Michva, multiple times, so that's there to inform us that even if the burn does not come through a fire, but even if it comes through something else, an example of the something else are coals, so that is considered saras. That's considered a subcategory of this mechvazesh. And it was clear over there only because we had a riboy that we say that coals are included, which means that the default is that coals are excluded. That was our question. Good. So answer number one provided by Rav Chisda is that there's the coals of wood versus coals of metal. Coals of metal are not considered fire. Coals of wood are considered fire. That was all answer number one. And then the Gemara digressed for a little bit discussing burning vis-a-vis Mises Beis Din, burning regarding Parman Asrafim. Okay, but those were all tangential points. Now we've reset the question. We're going to now answer the question a second time over Ravina Amar. So we're on the Amud Beis, three lines from the top of the Amud. And here we get to answer number two. Ravina Amar Kroch Vitini. You didn't read the Brisa correctly, says Ravina. Let's go back to the Brisa regarding Mechvazesh. Let's read it correctly. And that is Mechvazesh Ein Li Ela Shenichva Be'esh Uva Gacheles. Correct reading of the Brisa is that when the Torah says Mechvazesh, you know what I would have assumed is that fire and coals are considered esh. Meaning Gacheles is not part of the ribui. Gacheles is part of what is baseline esh. Baseline esh is fire and coals. And now, Nichve be remitz besid rosech v'gafsis rosech v'chol davar ba machmasa or la'esuye chame or minayin. Now, how do I know that anything that's heated by fire is also included? Tamalomer, michva michva riba. Beautiful. So in other words, in Ravina's reading of the Brisa, what comes out now is that Gachelos was already part and parcel of Eish, and now we're just looking to include all these other items, which are told us Eish. Good. Adkan. That takes us now to the end of the second answer. I know that was a lot quicker than the first answer, but here there were just simply no digressions. Continuing in the Gemara, Rava Rami. Okay, Rava notes the following discrepancy, and that is Miyama Rebbe Gachalam Ikru Eish. So remember, Rebbe's answer to the question of are coals considered fire? So Rebbe's answer was an unequivocal yes. Roasting over coals is considered roasting over a fire. And you have fulfilled the mitzvah of the Torah of Tzli Eish, of roasting the Karban Pesach over fire. Viriminu, the Gemara says, okay, but on that, we have now the following. And what seems to be a stira. The stira over here is regarding the mitzvah of Yom Kippur. The Torah says, Rashi over here cites the pasuk, V'lakach molo amachta gachalei esh. Kohen Gadol is going to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and he's going to be creating a pillar of smoke. And what he's going to do is he's going to take Ketores, that is ground up, double ground up, and he's going to lay it on top of coals in the Kodesh HaKadoshim in order to create that pillar of smoke. Right? The powerful moment on Yom HaKippurim in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So, the Torah says, right, Rashi quotes, look at the Rashi alongside. V'lakach melo amachta gachalei esh. We're going to go back to the Gemara because Rashi now is just going to expound on the Gemara, but let's see the Gemara inside. So on that, on the coals that are taken, yachol omamos. So I might have thought that if they're glowing coals, meaning where are you getting the coals from? You're getting from the Mizbech HaChitzon. So I might have thought that if there are glowing coals, Tamar Lomer Eish. So the Torah says Eish. I made a mistake. Omamos over here, not the glowing coals. Omamos are coals that are basically out, put out. So Yachol Omamos Tamar Lomer Eish. So Eish tell me that it's a fire. E Eish Yachol Shal Heves. I might have thought that they need to be a flame. Tamar Lomer Gachale. So the Torah says coals. Haketzan Mevi Min Alochshos. So basically the Gachale Eish. What we're going to do is that we're going to take a middle approach, meaning it's not a flame. And it's not coals that went down. They're glowing coals. That's what we understand gachle esh to mean. Now, if we're going to parse the brisa, which we're about to do right now, so where do we stand in terms of coals being fire? So the Gemara says hagufa kasha. So a critical and careful reading of the brisa gets us good and confused. So hagufa kasha. Am I gachle yachol amamos? So gachle, I would have thought omamos is a fulfillment of gachle, of coals. Ama lo chashos eish ninu. Which means what? Which means that if the coals were glowing, So then I would have said that glowing coals, in other words, at that point of the Braisa, glowing coals are considered fire. A masefa. The Gemara says, yeah, but then move on to the next part of the Braisa. E eish yachol shal heves. If the Torah would have just said eish by itself, I need a flame. Tamar lomer gachale. So the chiddush is gachalim, which is coming to include, what is that telling me? Ama afil loch shos lav eish ninu. That tells me that glowing coals are not considered a fire. So basically, if I'm trying to figure out glowing coals, is that qualify as fire or does not qualify as fire? So the Braisa is giving us literally mixed messages regarding that point. In the first part of the Braisa, only coals that went out are not considered a fire, which means that glowing coals are considered a fire. From the second part of the Braisa, it's very clear that only because we have a ribu in the pasuk do we say that glowing coals is considered a fire, which means that the default is that glowing coals is not considered a fire. So over here, regarding the mitzvah of taking the gachalei esh for Yom Kippur, so we are really literally confused in terms of what glowing coals actually are. V'am Rav Sheshes hachi katani. And Rav Sheshes to that responds the following. Gachalei yachol bein omamos bein lochshas. Rav Sheshes now, in giving clarity on the Braisa, this is his understanding of the Braisa. That when the Torah says gachalei, so I would have said, you know what coals are? Coals are. Whether they went out, whether they're glowing. So tamalamar esh. So the Torah says, Eish, Eish, Yachol, Shal, Heves. I might have thought a flame. It has to specifically be a flame. Tamalom or Gachle, HaKetzad, maybe Menalochshos. So Gachle comes to tell me that they could be glowing coals. Mikomakom, Gachlem, Lo, Ikre, Eish. Now, the way Rav Sheshes understood the balance of this drasha, the word Gachelos by itself is Omamos, Bein Omamos, Bein Lochshos. So in other words, The word gachelos is not a kiyum on esh. Only because the Torah puts the words gachelos esh together are glowing coals going to be acceptable. But Rav Sheshes' understanding is that gachelos by itself is not fall under the category of esh. Now, if that's correct, meaning if Rav Sheshes' understanding now of this braisa regarding gachelos esh of Yom Kippur is correct, so kasha l'Rebbe. So now it's going to be really difficult because Rebbe said that roasting your carbon Pesach over glowing coals is a kiyum of Tzli Eish. And meanwhile, that doesn't conform to Rav Sheshes' understanding of the Braisa. So Amar Abai Tritzachi Gachle Yachol Amamos V'lo Lochshos. So Abai says, okay, so, right, we're just gonna go back to the Braisa of Gachle Eish by Yom Kippur, and we're gonna give a different explanation of it. So Abai says, this is how you're gonna understand the Braisa, meaning not like Rav Sheshes, but rather a different interpretation of the Braisa. I might have thought that coals that are acceptable are coals that went out, but not glowing coals. So the Torah says, Eish, E-Eish Yachol, Rasa Shalhavis Yavi Rasa Gachelis Yavi, Tamalomer Gachle, Haketa Mevi Menal Lochshos. If the Torah just would have said Eish, I might have thought that what you could do is you could bring into the Kodesh HaKadoshim just a flame, but not coals. So the, or you could bring coals as well, meaning because glowing coals is considered esh. But I would have entertained at least a possibility that you could bring a flame in of itself into the Beis HaMikdash. So that's how Abaye understands the Braisa. But in Abaye's understanding, glowing coals is considered a fire, and that conforms with Rabbi. So Amar Rabbi Ratzah Gechelas Yavi Ratzah Shalheves Yavi Shalheves Below Gechelas Echim Ishkachalah. So Rava says, now Girsa in terms of whether it's Rabbi or Rava, right, most probably it's Rava because, right, they typically argue. But anyway, Rava says, I don't understand. What are we entertaining? You're going to bring a flame into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now, first of all, how are you bringing just a flame into the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Kigon deshafi l'manamashka. So he says, well, I'll tell you how you're going to do it. You'll take a kli and you'll smear it with oil. And now as long as the oil is burning, so you have the flame. The atle beinura. So, hahu lamali kralim ute. So, and the Torah tells me that that's unacceptable. So, interesting argument that Rava is about to give. The Torah tells me that's unacceptable. I don't need the Torah to tell me that that's unacceptable. Intuition will tell me that that's unacceptable. Meaning, that's not the way they're presented to a Melech Basar Vadam. Okay, I'm not totally clear in terms of why that's so disrespectful, but you wouldn't do it in front of Melech Basar Vadam. And if you're not going to do it in front of Melech Basar Vadam, you're not going to do it in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Just a kli on fire is not respectful. Again, I'm a little bit lost in terms of why, but assuming it's not respectful, if you're not doing it in front of Melech Basav Adam, you're not doing it in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's just so interesting that Rava says, look, if intuition tells me it's no good, so then I don't need a pasuk. Okay, and it happens like occasionally throughout Shas, where the Gemara uses a svara, just a simple argument in terms of establishing what is a halacha. Okay, this is just being an example. So Allah Marava Tarifsachi, but still, in other words, we have the Brisa by Gachalei Eish, and from the Brisa, at least Rav Sheshes' understanding, glowing coals is not considered a fire, which is problematic for Rebbe. So Abai gave his understanding of the Brisa of Gachalei Eish. Rava didn't like it, so Rava's going to give his understanding. So Tarifsachi, Gachalei Yachol Amamos V'lo Loch Shos. So if the Torah would have said Gachalei, I would have thought that they have to be coals that went out and not burning coals. Tamalamar Eish. So Eish is coming to tell me that they're burning. Eish Yachol Yavi Mechza Gachelas O Mechza Shal Heves. So if the Torah would have just simply said Eish, I would have thought that when you're going into Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Kohen Gadol has to have a composite of coals and flame. Adailu Gubai Havakule Gachelas. Now obviously what's going to happen is that eventually the flame is going to die out and you're going to be left with glowing coals. So I might have thought, however, that there at least has to be a flame while going in. Tamalamar, v'lakach malam achta gach le'esh, me'alam izbech. Mishas l'kich enehavi gachalim. And that's what the Torah is coming to teach me, is that, no, when you take them from the mizbech achitzon, so from there, it's already going to be in the form of glowing coals. Doesn't need to have flames shooting out of it. Okay, Adkan, that's Rava's interpretation, which Rava basically saying that glowing coals is considered a fire, but there would have been a havamina that not only do you have to take glowing coals, but you also have to take glowing coals together with a flame. That's the havamina, and the maskana is that you don't. But glowing coals is considered a fire. Again, lengthy discussion to make all of it really reduced and shorter. So roasting Karm Pesach over glowing coals, is that a kiyum of tzliyesh? The answer is yes. That was Rebbe's that was Rebbe's position. And for the last more than Amud, right, nearly a daf of Gemara. So the Gemara had a masa matan, had a lengthy discussion about it. But the answer of the Gemara is really clear. Ibai lahu, just finishing up to the Mishnah. Omamos or Omamos, what's the correct nusach? Is it Omamos with an aleph or Omamos with an ayin? So for us speakers of Hebrew, so we don't make any distinction. For us, aleph ayin are pronounced the same. Right, back in the day. There was a way of differentiating the ayin and the aleph, right? The Rambam writes, you have a shliach tzibur who can't make any differentiation between his aleph and his ayin. Doesn't qualify as a shliach tzibur, right? Once upon a time, there was differentiation. We've lost the Masara. Anyway, so is it with an aleph or with an ayin? So I'm Rav Yitzhak, Arizim la mamu began alokim. Pasuk Yecheskel, the Gemara quotes, where clearly we have a Masara that's with an ayin. Okay, so it's the correct spelling is with an I, not with an alf. Okay, Adkan. Okay, let's quickly review our daf today. Very, very simple in terms of chazara, as really our topics of discussion were extraordinarily limited. Number one, the Maisa Listor, right? The top of Ayin Hamad Aleph, where the episode regarding Rebbe Gamliel and Tevi Avdo, where the Mishnah says you're not allowed to roast the Karm Pesach on metal. And then Rabbi Gamliel says, you know what, go get me the metal. We're going to grill on metal. So so how does that work? So the Gemara says, well, his grill were really grates and had a whole lot of holes in between. And as we pointed out, the simple reading of the Gemara is that you can roast a Karm Pesach on a grill with holes in the middle. But we read Rashi, and Rashi clearly said that there could be no contact between the metal and the Karm Pesach, which begs the question, which I don't have a good answer for. So then what is the purpose of the grates? Good, I don't have a great answer for it, but that's Rashi. Rashi says that unequivocally. The fact that the Torah says Sli Eish two times, so the Gemara says, how is that sync with the halacha regarding Klipe Arla, where Klipe Arla, if I heat up an oven and I remove the Klipe Arla, so we said that the bread is going to be mutter under those circumstances. Only because the Karm Pesach says Sliyesh two times, do I need the source of the fuel in the oven. Had it not been the case, so if I took the source of fuel away, it's still considered fire. So the Gemara says, how do those two halachas synchronize one with the other? So the Gemara gave a couple possibilities of how that work. And finally, the last part of today's daf, which was really the bulk of today's daf, is roasting your Karban Pesach over glowing coals. Is that going to be a satisfaction of roasting on Tzli Eish? Rebbe's answer was yes. To that, the Gemara says, yeah, but by, we have a brisa by Michvas Eish. We went, I think we covered, I can't say this, I can't say this with absolute certainty, but we must have covered every halacha that requires fire in today's daf. The Gemara says, what about the fact that by Michvas Eish, the tzaras of Michvas Eish, so the Torah only has a ribui for coals, which means that coals by itself is not fall under the category of fire. So that was the Gemara's question. The Gemara had two answers to the question. Answer number one is there are different types of coals. There's wood coals and metal coals. I say metal coals. I just simply mean metal heated by fire. So wood coals is considered fire. Metal heated by fire is a talada. But then from there, the Gemara launched into a couple of side discussions regarding Mises Beis Din, where we do in fact use molten lead as a way of executing. All right, that's not fire. The Gemara says, yeah, but by Mises Beis Din, so it's Sreifa. The focus is on Sreifa, not H. Even though the Torah uses the word H, but really the focus is on Sreifa. Good. So that's one. The Gemara, another side topic over there, Parman Nisrafim, where there it has to be burned in a fire. So the Gemara, okay, so fine. A couple of side discussions. But anyway, that was answer number one. Answer number two of the Gemara, as we are now on the top of the Amud Beis in terms of review, is Ravina's answer. And Ravina says that you misunderstood all the brice altogether. When the Torah says Michvas Eish, so coals were included in the baseline, meaning you get burnt in a fire or with a coal, that's considered a fire. And in terms of what the ribu is coming to include, it's coming to include anything else that is heated by a fire. The Gemara notes that we have a brice regarding Gachle Eish by the coals of Yom Kippur. Where the Torah says Gachle Eish, and the Gemara quoted a brisa in terms of using glowing coals, and the brisa basically says that's what the Kohen Gadol is going to take, is going to take glowing coals. But in the brisa itself, we're confused in terms of whether glowing coals are understood to be part and parcel of fire. Is it fall under the category of fire? Based on Rav Sheshes' understanding of the brisa, it's not. So the Gemara says, okay, but we don't have to go with Rav Sheshes' interpretation of the brisa. The Gemara offers two other interpretations. Abaye and Rava both give their own interpretations of the Braisa. And so based on that, Rebbe's position is totally defended. When all said and done, Rebbe's position is defended. Bimhir, Biyamina, when the Mashiach comes and we're going to go back to the Beis HaMikdash and offer Karban Pesach and roast the Karban Pesach. So glowing coals is going to be perfectly fine. Adkan.